This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Some new research at the University of Melbourne has highlighted a lack of diversity when it comes to our teachers. Well, is it a problem? And what impact does it have on the education of our kids during their formative years? To tell us more, I'm joined by Suzanne Rice, Senior Lecturer, Education Policy and Leadership at the University of Melbourne. Suzanne, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks very much.
Who currently makes up the majority of our teachers?
Okay, so in our teaching workforce, we've got a disproportionate representation of women, of people born in Australia, of non-Indigenous compared to Indigenous within the population. People with a disability are underrepresented. Rural and people who've grown up in rural and regional areas are also underrepresented. So there's a skewing there. I should add that with LGBTIQ+, we don't actually have any accurate data on representation in the teaching workforce that I'm aware of. So I don't know what the situation is there. But there's a skewing there to people from certain backgrounds that is less than ideal from both social justice perspective and also from the perspective of our kids' outcomes.
What impact would a more diverse teacher workforce have on students?
Okay, so there's quite a bit of research being done. It's been a higher priority in the United States. And for example, they've found that with a more diverse workforce, for example, black teachers are more likely to recommend black students safer gifted programs. They're less likely to sanction them for behaviour and so on. Students do from minority groups with a matching teacher will tend to do better, and it can often have a flow-on effect within the school. There's also the role model effect where students, for example, with a teacher with a disability can see what a teacher with a disability can be. It shapes the thinking across the staff in terms of what people can do. So there are effects on achievement. It also potentially, we're in the middle of a staffing crisis that's been a long time building. And our hardest to staff schools tend to be schools in rural and regional areas and schools in disadvantaged urban areas. And we know, for example, that people who've grown up in rural and regional areas who move into teaching are more likely to go to and stay within a rural and regional school, similarly for disadvantaged people coming from disadvantaged backgrounds. And so there's a kind of a cultural matching effect where they feel more at home in the community, they understand the culture and so on. So there are issues in terms of achievement of our students who have tended to underachieve, and there are issues in terms of staffing that we could potentially be looking at by diversifying our workforce further.
Suzanne, I'm just thinking about a couple of the teachers that I had at school. Mrs. Ikovich, she was an amazing English teacher, and I was more a science, a maths student. And, you know, she brought a different perspective from her background into English and really brought me on board and made me interested in it. And then I'm thinking of this science teacher, Mr. Galil, and he sort of brought in his background as well and got me interested in doing electronics and things like that that weren't on the school curriculum. So I was exposed to a diverse range of teachers. And I'm just wondering, does exposure to teachers from diverse backgrounds also have a positive impact, even if the student isn't from the same minority group as the teacher?
Look, there's fledgling research on this in the United States showing, yes, that it's positive not just for the minority group. It's a relatively new area of research in some areas. As I said, in terms of black students, there's been quite a lot over the years. But you're right, there is some evidence that suggests that it can be beneficial for students other than the minority students. It can be beneficial for the broader community, and that diversity on the staff, across the staff, can help the staff grow in terms of their perspective and understanding of various issues and so on.
We're chatting with Susan Rice, Senior Lecturer, Education Policy and Leadership at the Uni of Melbourne, about some new research on how our teacher workforce has a diversity problem and what we can do to fix it. Just on the current shortage of teachers, which we spoke about before, is there a diverse recruitment strategy trying to address the lack of diversity?
Okay, so we examined the recruitment strategies of all of our state departments of education. We didn't look at Catholic and Independent. State schools tend to have the largest challenges with regard to staffing because they've got an obligation to staff, to teach in all areas. You know, they can't pick and choose. They have to teach in the most remote schools. They've also got economies of scale that mean they can set up these types of initiatives. For the most part, what we found was that recruitment initiatives were focused largely on plugging the gaps, supply issues. And there were some, there are some initiatives there that definitely focused on diversity, but it wasn't a strong focus. And while we are in the middle of a teacher shortage, and obviously that means that there is an urgency about filling the gaps and we do have to, nevertheless, I've been studying staffing policy for some years, and even when I was writing back in 2017, there wasn't much of an emphasis then. There has been a bit of work done in terms of initiatives to increase the number of Indigenous teachers and on-country things in Western Australia and so on. So, and Northern Territory's had a program for a while. But as a general sort of overview of staffing policy across state systems in Australia, there hasn't been a strong focus. We also looked at England. There hasn't been much of a focus there. As I said, the United States has had the strongest focus, and that's overwhelmingly been in the area of teachers of colour.
Your report also looked at Grow Your Own programs. What are they?
Yes. Okay, so Grow Your Own programs are where you set up programs for people who are already working in a local community. So maybe they're a teacher's aide, ancillary staff, and you set up a program that enables them to continue working, getting paid, but they're doing their teacher training at the same time and will be spending some or all of their time teaching an internship model. And one of the reasons they work is that you're drawing people who've done two things. First of all, they've shown that they're interested in education, at least by taking a job at a school, and they understand something about how school systems work. And secondly, of course, they've got a commitment to the local area. And they range on a spectrum, so you can sort of set them up just as, okay, this is a program we're setting up from on top. But there's been a lot of work done in the States, and there are programs where on that spectrum on the other end, they're actually, they almost co-design and see the local knowledge of the people who are involved in that program as a resource to help them understand how better to develop teacher training to support people to work, say, in challenging urban settings or whatever. So that there's an element of really valuing that knowledge, that local knowledge that they bring, and seeing that as part of how we can potentially reshape education to make it a place where all kids can flourish, including those in disadvantaged settings.
I would imagine too that recruiting someone from a local community would also have an impact perhaps on teacher retention down the track.
Yes, it does. And there is some evidence now that people who grow up in rural areas who go to a rural school are more likely to stay. That people who've grown up in a local area are more likely, have higher retention in schools in those areas. So we tend to move towards what feels familiar and comfortable, and that's true of teachers as well.
So, Suzanne, what do we need to do now to ensure that our teachers do represent the diverse Australian community?
Look, I think one of the things that we talk about in the report is the need for a positive vision of what a quality teacher workforce looks like that includes diversity, that we shouldn't just be thinking of quality as some sort of inherent thing in an individual teacher, a high-quality teacher, but we need to be thinking systemically about this notion of a quality teaching workforce that includes diversity as a key component of that quality. and then shaping our policy accordingly. And we've outlined various strategies, and they can be used and tried out and brought in and so on. But I think it does start with this sort of conception of quality that is a collective one that incorporates diversity as a key component of what we think of when we think of a quality teaching workforce.
Suzanne, I'd like to read this SMS that has come in and says anonymous for this one. I'm a non-binary primary school teacher and my direct manager persistently misgenders me. It's got to the point where I regret coming out, but I super love being able to support my non-binary students. What would you say to a teacher like that?
Mm-hmm. Look, good on them. Great to hear. I think the second thing I'd say is one of the things we talk about in the report is that it's not just enough getting teachers in. We need to build the capacity of schools to support minority group teachers, and that includes a culture that they find welcoming and where their diversity is seen. And this gets back to this notion of diversity as an element of quality, where that diversity is seen as contributing to the quality, not something that has to be catered for as a problem or an issue or goodness me, but something that is a key component of the school's quality, that it helps build a stronger school and is a resource for everyone in the school. So it is a question of also making sure we build school cultures, that we build principal and teacher knowledge and promote this vision of diversity as this component of quality.
Suzanne, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Warren.
Thank you. Susan Rice, Senior Lecturer, Education Policy and Leadership at the University of Melbourne. Some interesting findings there.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.